WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
UK's Centre for Clinical and Translational Science recently kicked off its annual Spring Research Days with a keynote panel featuring acclaimed historian and author John M. Barry. His 2004 book, The Great Influenza, The Story of the Deadliest Pandemic in History, was a New York Times bestseller. I recently spoke with John about lessons learned from the 1918 pandemic applied to the one we're in now and those we'll see in the future.
In terms of the lessons, I think there were two from 1918, and I think they've been confirmed in the last year. The first is the best public policy is to tell truth. I think it's very important because the only tools that you're going to have until you get a vaccine is public compliance with your recommendations as to behavior. If you don't tell people the truth, if they're confused about your messaging, the compliance is just not going to be very high. The second lesson from 1918, again, this has been proved this year, is that these public health measures work. You know, the social distancing, ventilation, masks, hand washing, these things have proven to be more effective than, frankly, than I thought possible. Where they have been used and rigorously by people in the public. And I would think maybe a good example would be, unfortunately, not the United States, but Australia. Australia is a country very much like the United States, very Western in culture. I mean, it is Western culture. It's almost like a big Texas. It's almost a cowboy culture, individualistic and so forth and so on. Australia has 25 million people. They've had 900 deaths. Compare that to the United States, if you adjust for population, that would be equal to about 12,000 deaths in the United States. We have over 550,000 deaths. We have very similar culture. The difference is that in Australia, they took it seriously from the beginning. They employed these, what are referred to as NPIs, not pharmaceutical interventions. In other words, what do you do when you don't have any drugs? And they kept people alive. Their economy, far from suffering, is in better shape than the United States. And according to projections for growth into 2022, it's supposed to be growing faster than the American economy next year. So it's benefits all the way around. Number one, it saves lives. And number two, it's more useful for the economy. But you cannot get the compliance. People are not going to take your advice if your messaging at the beginning is not truthful. And so those two lessons from 1918 are very much interconnected.
It's fascinating and frustrating to see where public policy and public health should mesh, perhaps by the Australian model, New Zealand, other countries that have done so well. And here we are in one of the wealthier nations in the world, perfectly capable of implementing good public policy and public health, and yet for some reason we just did not.
Well, pretty clear why. Political reasons, politics intervene. The irony is that it would have been in Trump's self-interest, I think clearly, had he taken a much more aggressive posture toward the pandemic instead of wishing it away and pretending that it was not serious. The only time in his entire presidency that he cracked 50% in the approval ratings was right after he declared war on the virus, which was in the middle of March in 2020. So he was briefly had majority support, majority approval in the United States. It's the only time. It's because people rally around a leader in a crisis. But rather than continuing to lead, he undermined his own experts. And in fact, on several occasions, he even said the federal government was a backup. And it's hard to imagine anybody in a national and international crisis viewing the national government as a backup. That's just crazy. helping him politically. It destroyed him politically. So it's unfortunately, from his perspective, that he didn't see a little bit further down the road. And of course, you know, one of the most frustrating things to everybody in the public health community is that there are many thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of Americans who should be alive, who died because we had such a poor response to the pandemic.
I know it's impossible to predict such things, but taking your long view of the studies that you've engaged in looking at, you know, over a century ago now and a public health response and looking down the road to potential future pandemics, do you think we'll get it better the next time?
It sort of depends how soon the next time is. I think, I often have quoted Hegel, who said, what we learn from history is we learn nothing from history.
Yeah.
You know, there certainly are going to be other pandemics. There's no question about it. Other pathogens from animals are going to jump species into humans and spread. You know, if it happens 10 years from now, then this pandemic will be very much on everybody's mind. If it happens 75 years from now, who knows? You know, certainly we've already advanced very far in the technologies to produce vaccines much faster than ever before, which in fact, you know, that stems, I think, largely from the Bush administration, George W. Bush, who invested quite a bit of money, several billion dollars in preparing for a pandemic. And I think we need to be very thankful for that. But it's hard to imagine the production and distribution, no matter how fast you can produce a vaccine in terms of the science, which was a matter of a couple of weeks this time around. But you do have to test it, and I don't see how you can short-circuit that. And you do have to manufacture and distribute it, which is still going to take many months. So in the future, you'll still be a gap of months at least between the time a pathogen enters the population, begins to spread, and the time that you get a vaccine out there, and that would be the best case. So, you know, we were able to produce a vaccine against this disease, but some pathogens are not so easy to produce vaccines. I mean, we've been trying for more than, really at this point, more than 30 years to get a vaccine against HIV. We still don't have it. This virus happened to be much more amenable to that. So it's a concern going into the future, quite a serious.
My thanks today to acclaimed historian and author John M. Barry for talking with me about lessons learned in the 1918 pandemic as applied to today and beyond. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.